Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. This is about to be one heck of a Monday show. Talking about all things, but most importantly, talking about these Lakers. But before we get things started, that is Slick Rick, the Buker on the far end. The one and only brilliant Joyce Taylor. Joyce, great to see you. Dave, it's great to see you too. Kind of, a little bit. Eagles all-time rushing leader.
Well, I'll see
next to me. I don't know. You don't like that?
I hate when it's too much hate next to me.
You don't like that? I feel you. I feel the same. Y'all don't have a handshake either?
No, we're working on it.
He doesn't want to work with me on it.
It's fine.
What's with the either?
Oh, because we have a handshake. Oh, okay. Shady got
the
a handshake two times.
When y'all hate like that, it's hard for me to even deal with y'all like that.
What's with the pronoun we?
You, him, hate together.
Lean into it, buddy. Lean into it.
Now, look, at least here's a good thing. We have not yet argued about Dak Prescott. Is that credit to Shady or is that credit to you?
It's all, well, when we don't, it's a credit to Shady because he hasn't brought him up.
Look, we do got to get to some arguing because LeBron James and the Lakers had a huge, and I mean huge, win Sunday night in Dallas. L.A. shut down Mavs stars Luka and Kyrie Irving in the second half. I was watching this game. I was glued to it. Bron, he rolled his ankle, but he got up like a king does, put his crown on, and before you know it, the Lakers storm back from down 27 and gets a dub in my hometown of Dallas. It was the largest comeback of LeBron James' career. Tie the largest of his career, and it was the biggest comeback of the NBA season. Now, look, Slick Rick Buker, it's good to see you. Well,
it's
at least it was. Shady, when I'm watching the game, I realize this. The Lakers are officially Western Conference contenders. On Friday, I came on this show, and I was talking out of feelings, not facts. Right? I was believing it was so, even when it wasn't so, so that it could be so. But now it is so. The Lakers officially contenders. If you can come back from down 27 versus a team which has players that don the name Luka, Luka, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. If you can come back from down 27, what can't you do? Mm-hmm. LeBron James has played a mighty long time, and we just witnessed his team, a LeBron James team, have the biggest comeback of a LeBron James team in his illustrious career. If you can come back against the Dallas Mavericks, in my mind, what can't you do? Because the Western Conference is wide open.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Dallas Mavericks have just as good a shot to win the West as anybody else. Don't talk to me about the Nuggets, who ain't won the West. Don't talk to me about the Grizzlies, who ain't won the West. Don't talk to me about the Kings, who ain't won the West. The Mavericks are as capable as anybody. And the Lakers came back from down 27 to win. Not to go into overtime, to win in regulation. They officially contenders, Slick Rick.
Well, how am I supposed to start when your original premise is off? No, the Dallas Mavericks are not as much contenders as everybody else. Their record doesn't say so, and their makeup doesn't say so. Since when does this brand new Kyrie... We're going to get to that later. But I digress. Look, it was... I agree with you with this point. The fact that they were the first team to come back from a 27-point deficit does give this team the confidence, especially this newly built team, that they can do anything, that they are an anointed team, that they're meant to do something special. Without question, that confidence is a vital part of this. But I have said from the beginning, my concern is, can LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who haven't been able to play a stretch of games without taking games off, are they going to be able to do it for the next 20-plus games and then, in order to get to the conference finals, do it for another 20-plus games? And what do we have? We have one game where they got to go to the wall to win, and LeBron James is limping out of the building. If he misses the next couple games and they lose to Memphis and they lose to Oklahoma City, we will have completely forgotten about this dramatic comeback against the Dallas Mavericks. So while I think it is an important win and a valuable win for them, it doesn't change my view of them as being a threat to be a play-in team and to be in the playoffs. But taking them all the way to the conference finals, Acho, you have big dreams in your life. You have big dreams, and sometimes we just get a little ahead of ourselves when we have big dreams. I think this might be one of those times.
Joy, break it down. Are the Lakers officially Western Conference contenders?
Yes. You got to manifest these things, right?
Get into existence.
Before you can become great,
talk about it.
First, believe that you are great.
That's a bar.
Bars.
That's a bar. That's a
Ooh.
Bar. That's, a,
that's
bar.
A bar.
Before you can become he always says it twice. Before you become great, you must first believe you are great. You made a great point. Slick, this comeback is very important for this newly put together team.
Yeah.
This was a big win for the team to see we're capable of this, to see role players step up and be huge, which to me is really the updated information, right? We were kind of manifesting it, you know. Mm-hmm. Last week.
Oh, yes.
We're speaking it into existence
people.
A yes. little bit. But now we can see more evidence. We can see more evidence that these moves are helping.
Mm-hmm.
That they filled holes.
Agreed.
Vanderbilt was excellent.
Excellent.
Yesterday.
Excellent.
He is a role player, and he played his role to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That is the type of defense, that is the type of contribution that you have to have
Agreed.
If you're going to be a contender
Agreed.
In the West. So I love what I saw from them. And if they can continue to play at this level, yes, health is obviously a real conversation, and it must be considered when you talk about how much basketball LeBron has played over his career, because we don't often consider all the extra games in the postseason and the Olympics. I think he's played three extra seasons than just the regular seasons that we consider. So
and
he has
he's 38.
Yes. And Anthony Davis has had a very hard time staying healthy. So I think it's fair. Oh, I hate that word. It's reasonable to apply that when we are evaluating what the Lakers can do. But if they can stay healthy and they play like that, why wouldn't they be contenders?
Shay, do you answer that question? Are the Lakers officially contenders in the Western Conference?
I'm going to say yes. With these new additions, first of all, they're 4-1 with these new additions, right? They won this game yesterday without D'Lo. He was hurt. He didn't play.
Talk about it.
So you miss out on a point guard. You miss out on scoring. Then Joey talked about Vanderbilt. He played great. In the first half, they couldn't stop Luka, especially in the first quarter. When you turn the game on, he hit three step-back threes on Anthony Davis off the switch. I'm like, whoa, it's going to be a long game. As the score got bigger and bigger and bigger and higher and higher and higher, they started coming back. They were down like 20-some points early in the game. Mm-hmm. They cut it to 14 at half. I said, oh, hold up. It's a game again. The Lakers didn't shoot well at all, right? They were like 6 for 34 from three. That's terrible, 18%, something like that. But the cool thing I watched is, how did they really win this game?
Talk about it.
They won from defense. They won from Anthony Davis playing like the old Anthony Davis, like the bubble Anthony Davis.
Agreed.
He had 30 and 15. He was dominant.
Yep.
When the game got down to the wire, he was the one that was answering. He's the one that put the nail in the coffin, other than the Luka mistake later in the game. And then the cool thing I love, they outscored him in the paint, 62 points to 32. People don't see that part. Mm-hmm. So if we're not shooting well, right, we're playing great defense, how are we going to win this game?
Go down and bang.
They win it in the paint.
Go down and bang.
They had steals. They play great defense. They scored in the paint, and that's how they win that game. And real quick, I do think that if they can play this way, like, they're adjusting. They're finding ways to win. We're not shooting well. Let's go to the paint. Okay, if that's not working, we're playing defense. I don't know. This Lakers team going to be tough to deal with, man.
So let me just slow this roll just a little bit. Because, again, and this will underscore the point that I made at the beginning, which is that the Dallas Mavericks aren't that team. They aren't a team that's going to contend. Because defensively, you're not going to have if and when the Lakers get into the playoffs, LeBron James is not going to be guarded by Tim Hardaway Jr. Or Frank Ntilikina or Reggie Bullock. That's not going to happen. And Anthony Davis is not going to be defended by Dwight Powell on a regular basis.
Okay.
They're going to be legit players there. And I can't help but make a point of they did fall behind by 27.
They did.
And they did look at this as a game that they needed and did not play like it for the better part of the first half.
Sure.
So did the Lakers win this game? I'm not going to take it away from them. They won this game. But they could not have done it without the Dallas Mavericks completely falling apart.
Well, I disagree, Shane.
You got him?
Let me get him.
Okay, go and get him.
Here's the problem, Slit. So often, people just assume the Mavericks just fell apart.
Right.
They just fell apart.
Yeah.
Slick, let me break it down for you like this. I had a leak in my roof during the days and days and days of rain. Had a leak in my roof. My roof didn't just start leaking. Had some pressure.
Mm.
The rain, the water, the pressure forced my roof to start leaking. The Mavs ain't just trip and fall apart. AD, turnaround fadeaway on Luka's face.
Ooh.
LeBron James on a bum ankle, step through, bucket. So we're not just going to act like the Dallas Mavericks just somehow collapsed. No, no, no. It was the Lakers that forced the collapse of the Dallas Mavericks. It was the Lakers that forced the Dallas Mavericks, that ran the Dallas Mavericks off the court. What most impressed me was this, Slick. It was that energy. That's why I use the phrase run off the court. Them old school Lakers would not have come back from down 27.
Right.
They're just too old.
Yep.
Like, they truth be told.
And they would have flagged.
They would have tapped, hey, coach. Get me out. I need something. They would have tapped, and they wouldn't have been able to keep up, like Joy brought up the brilliant point of Jared Vanderbilt. Like, his energy was palpable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that, to me, Slick, is why this Lakers team is different and legitimate contender.
Can I add on to that?
Please do.
Like, they look desperate. They look hungry.
Yeah, hungry dogs.
And you talk about, like, It's two sides of sports. The first half and then the second half. Mm-hmm. The first half, they didn't play well. They didn't shoot well. Mm-hmm. They made adjustments. That's what good coaching is. Mm-hmm. That's why I give Ham some credit. Mm-hmm. They made adjustments in the second half. They played lights out defense. You talk about Jared Vanderbilt. His energy. You need, in championship teams, there's always guys like that.
That part.
There's always a guy that's like he's harassed you on defense. He don't get tired. Yep. Every second, he's giving you all his effort. Like the Draymond Green type. And then he gave you 15 points, which we didn't expect that, right? All hustle points, all second rebounds. Another thing is, like, people understand in basketball, it'd be the small things. Like, they doubled, I think it was like 18 to 20 of second chance opportunities on offense.
Second points, yep.
Points. So it's like, shoot a ball, brick. Our guys on our offense hustling to get the ball, loose balls. Stuff like that matters. And Jason Kidd talked about how his guys need to grow up, right? They need to go out there and compete. Stop crying for all the fouls to the refs. Play hard because the Lakers, they were doing that.
And Vanderbilt had 17 rebounds.
Come on now. 17? He only 6'8". 17's a lot.
138 times in NBA history, a team has led by 27 points.
Okay.
This is the first time, and it's not as if in all those 138 games, teams didn't make comebacks. But no team fell apart so dramatically that they actually lost the game after leading by 27 points. So I don't want to take anything away. Like I said, and I've said it, the Lakers are a better team. They are far more suited to LeBron James. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis did everything you would hope that they could do. But the Dallas Mavericks, you can't say that this was imposed on them. Kyrie Irving was 1-for-8 from three-point range in the second half, 2-for-10. He was a disaster, ultimately, in the second half. I just need Kyrie to play halfway good. Somebody from the Dallas Mavericks to get a rebound. And then this turns the other way, and we're not having this whole conversation.
Joy, final thoughts.
I mean, I there are points that we can make about what happened with the Dallas Mavericks. We do have to tell that side of the story. I agree. But I think the way that the Lakers played defense, and to Shady's point, it's not like they got back in this game by shooting a flurry of threes. Mm-hmm. They had to get back into it in the paint.
Yep.
To me, that's a more desperate team. That's a more physical team. It's a more experienced team. And it's their star in Anthony Davis playing at a really high level. So I think it was forced on them. I hear your point about that how hard it is to come back from that. But when you're not doing it by shooting threes, I have to give it the Lakers more credit than I do the Mavs falling apart.
Well, speaking of difficulty, it is incredibly difficult to drop 71 points in an NBA game. Mm. Only 8 players in the history of the sport have done so.
Crazy.
And it happened yesterday. Dame Lillard, Dame Time, 71. How impressive was that historical feat? When we return, we'll break it down for you. Don't go anywhere. We having fun on Speak.
Dame a bad man. Woo.
Dame Lillard, only the 8th player in NBA history to do what he did last night. So what did he do? He put up 71 points in 39 minutes, including 13 three-pointers. Dame matched Donovan Mitchell's season high scoring mark earlier in the season and became the first player in league history to score more than 70 at age 30 or older. It was a miraculous, really, performance to watch. And then when you go back and look at the details of it, it was even more mind-blowing. But Shady, I know you like you some point guard play. I'm sure you played guard back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm sure you were something like a high school Dame Lillard yourself.
Like Kyrie. I was more like Kyrie.
Huh? Shady, you're hilarious. Okay, how impressive was Dame Lillard's 71-point performance?
Super impressive. Listen, I love Dame Lillard. Like, he's one of my favorite players to watch. I love his attitude, what he brings to the table, or brings to the court, I should say. And then, like, he has that old DNA. Like, I'm sticking with my team. I'm going to do whatever it takes for us to win. I love Dame. I mean, if you look at his performance, it's only 8 players that ever dropped 70. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about, like, guys like Shaq, they never get that. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, like, big-time scores. When I watch this team, right, this is the issue I have with just the narrative of the NBA. When guys like you, especially guys like him, they criticize ball players for teaming up with other stars to compete for championships.
Okay.
Dame Lillard, right? People would say Steph Curry's better. I would say that. But it's so close. Mm-hmm. And you know what the difference is? The championships. Why? The accolades. The MVPs. The finals MVPs. The 4 championships that Steph Curry has. That's the difference. If you put a guy like Lillard, first of all, he has 71. You know the second guy had? Well, Grant. Grant was the second leading scorer. He had 13 points. I can't make this up. Most teams, you want to get 3 players that can average or close to get 80 points. Mm-hmm. That's how they kind of see, you know, what they have in their team. So if you put Lillard with some superstars, Paul George, whatever it is, he have a chance to go out there and win a championship. Dame, keep doing what you're doing. It's your time. It is your time.
George, where do you stand? How impressive was Dame's 71-point performance?
Yeah, it's incredibly impressive. You said it. It's only 8 players in the history of the league that have done this.
Come on.
He's the first one to do it while making at least 10 three-pointers. It's all around a very historic night for Damian Lillard. I just enjoy Dame for what he is. He's just a great player, and he does things his way. And actually, his way is the way that we all say we want things to be done. Yeah. I think as fans, it's frustrating because you see his greatness year after year after year. And he is a reminder that it's a team game. Mm. We talk so much about the individuals in this sport and the stars in the sport as we should. It's a star-driven sport. But it is still a team game. You do need help. And imagine if somebody else could, you know, put up 25 last night or consistently. And it just really speaks to the greatness that Dame is, that he does this. He's had a 50-point game this year, a 60-point game this year. He's just one of the most incredible offensive players we've ever seen.
Yeah. Slick, break something down before I have a thought for you, sir.
So there's a couple things, a couple reasons why I discount what he did.
Oh, wait. Oh, discount the 70-point?
Yes.
Like, let me hear this. Like, let's hear this.
Right. Yes. Number one,
I guess on
it's
sale
against
or something.
The Houston Rockets. It's against arguably the worst team in the entire NBA. Okay? I mean, that's just a fact. Second, while as historic as a 71-point game is, it's already the second time this year that it's being done. He tied Donovan Mitchell. And if you look at the numbers across the board, offensive numbers, scoring numbers are through the roof. So all the numbers have been inflated. So that's not what impresses me. It goes to something that Joy said about who Damian Lillard is and a little bit of what you appreciate, the fact that he's in Portland and he's stayed there and continues to demonstrate how great he is. It's that when they came out of the All-Star break and he and a couple of the other starters missed the first game, mm-hmm. everybody was like, oh, the Blazers are tanking. Like, they're not even going to go for it. They're going for Victor Wembanyama. And Damian Lillard was like, hell no, we're not doing that. And told his teammates, it's time, and it's time now. It's not just Dame time, it's our time. Mm-hmm. What a way to underscore that. But to come back and say, let me go get 71. Let me go do something historic to let everybody know what the rest of this season means to me right now.
Look, let me ask you a question, because when I was thinking about this, my first thought was like Shady's. My second thought was like Joy's. Like, this was so incredibly impressive. But then 2-5, I kicked back and I started thinking to myself. I was watching the TV when Dame did this, and I realized, man, back in the day, a 70-inch flat screen was impressive. Like back in the day, you had a 70-inch flat screen, you was doing it. But now it's 70-inch flat screen is about $599. Everybody got a 70-inch flat screen. Back in the day, a flat screen was impressive. But now everybody has a flat screen. See, when Kobe dropped 81 in 2006, it was 12 years after, I believe, David Robinson had dropped 70-plus. Then we had to wait 11 years to watch Devin Booker drop 70-plus. But then we only waited 6 years to watch Spidey Mitchell drop 70-plus. Then we only waited 5 weeks to watch Dame Lillard drop 70-plus. To Slick's point, 25, if we keep seeing it happen, and mind you, it only happened twice this year, so it's not often.
Okay.
But there does come a point where it will lose its luster if we see it happen more often than not, don't you think?
No, I don't. Eight times.
Eight guys.
Eight players.
Yeah, eight players.
That's crazy. So if it's two guys this year, cool. But eight overall, that's a crazy number. The NBA has been here for years.
Years.
I'll take it to football.
Yep.
So you telling me, right, if guys running for 2,000 yards, it's only been like, what, four or five times, and they do it in two, and two running backs do it in the same year? What's that mean?
Okay,
That's still great.
Let me give it to you like this.
That's greatness.
Let me give it to you like this. I'm glad you went
there. I ain't going to shine on Dame.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Let me give it to you like
this. I
ain't
going to let you. Okay, go ahead.
You can do this. We saw 5,000-yard passers in football. It used to be the fewest.
Okay.
Dan Marino, Jory's quarterback, Dan Marino. 1984, he did it.
Uh-huh.
We did not see it again until 2009 with Drew Brees.
Right.
But then we saw Stafford do it. And then we saw Brady do it. Then we saw Manning do it. That was all good. Stafford, Brady, Manning, guys in the hall, going to be in the hall. But then we saw Jameis do it. And then I think Herbert did it, or Herbert, like, flirted with doing it. There comes a point where it's like, wait a second. You just did it. Now we can't. Now we kind of not discredit it, but now it almost dilutes it.
Yeah, but we're not there yet.
Fair.
It's still been done eight times in the history of the NBA. We're not there yet. Maybe we trend that direction.
That's where
next year there's three more. Okay, but right now it's still a big deal. And keep in mind, this is. Have you been near an NBA court recently? Like, where the three-point line is, it's far. I almost threw my shoulder out trying to make sure that I hit the backboard. This is exhausting. This is a lot of shots to put up to score 70 points.
That too.
Like, this is a physical effort to score that many points. So that's also why it's not done that often. Because even though it is the Rockets, there's still human NBA-level bodies on that court trying to keep you from scoring. Not only are you scoring that, you're doing at a level that is accumulating over the night.
Well,
like it's a
and he's efficient too. Does that count as efficient?
It's a physical achievement on top of it. Like, we don't think about how hard, like, because this is what he does.
Right.
That's far as hell. So the other side of the studio throwing a basket at a consistent, efficient level all throughout the night. It's an incredibly impressive
feat. I'll add to that. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not 6'10".
Right. He's short.
He's 6'2", 6'3".
Getting buckets.
190. Right. And getting buckets.
Like 6'2".
But again, I guess I'm colored by the fact that when Donovan Mitchell got his 71, and I was talking to scouts around the league, they were saying, yeah, we could see somebody get 100 this year. Like, the trend has been moving toward guys putting up these prolific numbers.
Yeah, but we didn't, though.
What's that?
But we didn't, though.
No, we haven't.
He missed 15 shots.
Yes.
No.
He missed 15 shots.
I'm not taking anything away from what Damian Lillard did. I'm just trying to put it in context with there are a lot of guys who are putting up really big offensive numbers, and the defense is not the same as it was. We can get into the weeds in terms of how teams are structured now.
Right.
You don't have defensive specialists on rosters anymore.
Yeah.
The number one thing is you've got to be able to make shots. So if you wanted to stop Damian Lillard, like who's Houston going to get say, we need to shut him down and make somebody else beat?
I mean, they did try to double team him. That did happen. I don't know. They did try to do
that. Well, you can shoot from 40 feet.
And the last part, he missed 15 shots.
It was incredibly efficient.
What are we talking about?
13 of 22 from three.
16 shots?
Incredibly efficient. 22 of 38 from the field.
Like video game numbers.
He went crazy. He went in his first half. He might have gone even crazier. Well, coming up, Jets legend and Hall of Famer said Aaron Rodgers would likely ruin. Yeah, he said ruin, not my words, his. Ruin the Jets locker room if he went to New York. We'll tell you if we agree. A huge name and a huge city could be a huge combination. Next on Speed.
Wow. Who said that? Dave Helmer said that?
I'm heartbroken, devastated, in shock. I saw the Commanders release Carson Wentz, Super Bowl champion Carson Wentz, former Philadelphia Eagle, but now he is a free agent. This is heartbreaking. I'm not going to lie. Bring us on camera. I'm still mourning a little bit. Dave, you had a smile on your face.
Not smiling. Yeah, I lost his job.
Yeah. You surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think we've seen this coming for a while. Like, the Colts not only didn't want him, they told the whole league how much they didn't want him. And then he underperformed with Washington. I mean, his play is directly responsible for two teams missing the playoffs the last 2 years. So, no, I don't think
you watch a lot of football, Dave Hellman. You've covered the National Football League for the last 10 years. Probably nobody better suited to answer this question I'm about to ask.
Love it.
Will Carson Wentz get another job as a quarterback in the NFL?
I think that depends entirely on what Carson Wentz is comfortable doing. Like, is he willing to sort of swallow his pride and take a backup job and go into a season knowing he's probably not going to be a team starter? If he's cool with that, yeah, I think Carson Wentz could play another decade in the league if he's cool only occasionally playing. Like, I think so. Like, if you are willing, look how long Chad Henne played for 15 years. He never really regularly started. If he's willing to do that, he could play into his 40s probably. What we know about Carson Wentz, my hunch is that he's probably not willing to do that. But if he's okay with not starting, I think he could play as long as he wants to.
Joy, where you at on this?
Yeah, he's not a starter. He's not a bridge guy. He is a backup. He is 14-21-1 over the last three seasons. Eesh. That's the second worst among all quarterbacks with at least 35 starts. Bad, bad.
It's not good.
But I'm not surprised, and I feel quite vindicated. I was very early to this party.
You and me both.
I was the first one through the door, and now I get to be the first one to leave. But Dak Prescott's had a better career than Carson Wentz.
I didn't bring it up again.
Dak Prescott is a better quarterback.
There was a hot debate at one point in time.
I said this so long ago.
It was a hot debate.
People were climbing down my throat about it. I'm right.
I'm just wondering.
Line up for your penance. Kiss the ring.
Hit me. Come on.
I'd rather have a Super Bowl. What would you rather
have? Yeah, obviously.
It's unfortunate, though, because Carson Wentz does have a lot of talent. Yeah,
Carson's best.
No question. There's nothing to discuss here. We don't need to.
His best
is better than Dak's best.
But I'll say Carson's best.
His best lasted for 13 games.
Carson Wentz has a very, very, very high ceiling. He is an incredibly talented quarterback. What's 14? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I
shorted him again.
But his floor is...
Yeah, his floor is bad. His floor is bad.
You're right.
His floor is bad.
But I don't lie though. When he was rolling. This dude is different.
A long time ago. I was a different person then.
Hold on. When he was playing, y'all didn't think he was legit when he was nice?
I always felt that he was incredibly talented, but extremely reckless. And to the point where he will cost you games. He will absolutely.
Well, he was rolling. He wasn't costing games.
No, but he was, on a heater. Like, he had a heater. Unlike anything we've ever seen, he was never able to sustain it.
Yes. What is the sustainability heater?
Here's the thing, though. He had three good seasons. Three good ones.
And then his last year.
17, 18. Now, statistics, record-wise, wasn't great, but 27 touchdowns, 7 picks.
I will say this, though. I mean, it's some time ago, but
long time
his
ago.
Last year with the Eagles, he was playing
solid.
He was playing with nobody.
Greg Ward was a wide receiver.
Yeah, like.
A quarterback at University of Houston.
Yeah, like, he was. After Philadelphia, it just got bad.
It got bad. It was a long time ago.
I would say, though, I would love to have him as a backup.
If he's willing to do it, and as long as he's not coming in thinking he's going to take somebody's job, if he's willing to do it,
Let me ask you this really quick before we transition to the real topic. Carson Wentz or like Marcus Mariota? Carson Wentz or Desmond Ridder? Because the Atlanta Falcons think they got Mariota still in contract or Ridder. Like, when you think about that, don't you think Carson Wentz could go in and start for the Falcons?
No, I'd rather have Mariota.
I'm scared of Wentz because of the profile, number two overall pick. He is still a huge name.
Mariota,
like, no, it's not the same, though. Like, Wentz has had these controversies. Again, the Colts were so desperate to get rid of this guy. Yep. There was friction between him and Jalen Hurts when Jalen Hurts took over.
Yeah.
There's distraction that comes with him that we've never associated with Mariota.
Fair. I like that.
I don't know about now, though. I think now it's like, we know what's up, Carson.
And I hope Carson, Carson, my dog. But Carson got to know what's up, too, though.
I mean, she just told you the numbers. Yeah, he can't get too cocky.
Yeah, he can't deny the numbers. What were the numbers again?
14-21.
Bad. 14-21.
Not good.
Not good. Okay, well, from bad numbers to great numbers, Aaron Rodgers, y'all know he puts up numbers individually and collectively. The Packers, usually year in and year out, they are about their business. But their business now, it might have Aaron Rodgers at a new destination. So what is that destination? Could be the New York Jets. Problem. Hall of Famer. For the New York Jets and legend, Joe Klecko says that Aaron Rodgers might be a distraction for the locker room, saying, quote, he could absolutely ruin the locker room, close quote. Now, I ain't got nothing Hall of Famer in me as it pertains to football, but I wholeheartedly agree with that thought process. If Aaron Rodgers were to go to the Jets locker room, it would be abysmal. Let me get out this quick thought. I'm not going to say it twice because Roy mocked me earlier for saying it. So I'm going to say it one time time.
Don't let me say it slowly.
Slowly. More is caught than is taught. Only saying it one time. Okay, what in the world do I mean? More is caught than is... Dang it, I said it twice. Okay, what do I mean? Okay.
We love this about you. It's for emphasis.
Okay, more is caught than is taught. 2-5, you know this. We go out all the time. We were at Cats last weekend. Your boy don't drink. Why don't I drink? My parents never said, hey, don't drink. But I never saw my parents drink, so I don't drink. I don't curse very often. Why don't I curse? My parents never said, don't curse. I just never saw my parents curse, so I don't curse. More is caught than is taught. You can tell somebody something, but they watching you. They will emulate what you do. So if Aaron Rodgers goes to a Jets locker room, it don't even matter what he teaches them. What are they going to catch from him? And I'm not talking about footballs. What are they going to catch from him? Oh, he ain't go to minicamp? Oh, he ain't got to go to minicamp? Oh, he ain't go to OTAs? Oh, we ain't got to go to OTAs? Oh, he didn't stay after practice? Oh, he ain't got to stay after practice? Oh, he was in Hawaii during off-season team activities? Oh, we ain't got to do that? What will Jets players catch from Aaron Rodgers that will harm the locker room? The Jets had the offensive rookie of the year. I wasn't talking about Garrett Wilson. I'm talking about Breece Hall.
Breece Hall
got hurt. Then Garrett Wilson legitimately became the offensive rookie of the year. I'm talking about two rookies capable of winning offensive rookie of the year. Mekhi Becton hurt. He's young, talented. Elijah Moore, he was already disgruntled. Second-year player, 23-year-old out of Ole Miss. Already wanted out as a wide receiver for the New York Jets. Imagine if Aaron Rodgers shows up. What will the Jets players catch? Not talking about the ball with Wilson on it. What will the Jets players catch from Aaron Rodgers that will be detrimental to that locker room? More is caught than is taught. And if Aaron Rodgers is in that locker room, they're going to catch a whole bunch of bad habits, Joy Taylor. I said it 4 times.
It's important to emphasize it when you have a bar. It's okay. That's why I did it.
I was a nice bar, though.
I did a lot of stuff that my parents didn't do.
I didn't get to say that.
I don't know if I picked up on that, but it's good, though.
Made my mama proud. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. I have to agree with you. I think the problem is when I look at the situations where quarterbacks have moved recently and had success, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Shady can talk to this, obviously, because he was there. Tom Brady is different when it comes to being a leader, when it comes to relating to people, to working with young players, getting on the same page with everybody, bringing everybody together. We know that's not what Aaron does. That's not what Aaron does. In fact, it's the opposite of what he does. He was unhappy with young players in the building he's been in for the last 18 years this year. Remember, he was calling them out publicly. We talked about it. He publicly, it ain't just like he was like a little cranky. He publicly said he's not happy with their performances. Now you come in and you're in a new place. You in Green Bay, you big dog Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You are Green Bay. You go somewhere new and it's New York City. You're still Aaron Rodgers, but you Aaron Rodgers in a new place. Mm-hmm. You got something to prove too. Why are you here? You didn't have a good season last year. Mm-hmm. A man with essentially the same numbers as you just lost his job mm-hmm. in Las Vegas. Now, you come with a resume, but are you coming with that resume? Mm. Is that Aaron Rodgers with that resume coming? So when you talk about, and listen, just because they're young players, that don't mean that they don't have egos. That doesn't mean that they don't think they're great.
Yep.
And they're, as young players, trying to make it in the league. They're trying to get their contracts. They're auditioning for their future in the league. So you better come with it. And don't you come here and be sorry. Don't try and tell me what to do and you sorry and you not treating us with respect. You have to, he has to come in as a new individual. That is just a lot to ask if I'm the Jets. I don't think that's a reasonable ask of anybody. We know what Aaron Rodgers' personality is. He showed us last year what it was like him working with young players, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't know why anyone would expect him to be different.
I'm about to say something that's going to sound crazy on the surface, so just bear with me, but I think we got to put some respect on the New York Jets, not the organization, but these players. Like, y'all are talking about the Jets like this is college and these are some 18-year-old freshmen. Like, was it Jameis Winston that said, we some dogs, we not some puppies? Garrett Wilson just won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Sauce Gardner is an all pro. Like, in my eyes, I don't care if they're just finished their first year. The minute you do that, you can't tell me anything. I'm here. I belong in this club. Quinnen Williams is one of the best young defensive linemen in the NFL. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Like, these are talented players. Aaron Rodgers doesn't dictate anything about who they are or what they do. Yes, he is a huge presence. He will weigh heavily in that locker room. But I trust guys like this. Okay, if you're good enough to be an all-pro, you know how hard it is to be an all-pro at cornerback as a rookie? Offensive rookie of the year. By the way, Garrett Wilson won offensive rookie of the year with Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco throwing him the ball. That is incredibly impressive. That's badass is what that is. If I'm Garrett Wilson, I'm like, I can handle myself. Clearly, I know about this NFL life. Bring me a quarterback that I can play with. And yes, Aaron Rodgers is still a good quarterback. He's much better than what the New York Jets were trotting out there. I think you got to have a little more faith in the talent the Jets have put around him to say, hey, we can win games with good quarterback play. We'll take, like, I mean, it's New York City also. None of these guys should be unfamiliar with the circus that comes with playing in New York. Yeah, it'll be a challenge, but I think these guys are up to it. I think Aaron Rodgers, the upside of adding a good quarterback to this roster is well worth whatever comes with it.
Yeah, I actually got to agree with Dave, which is hard to do. Well, but
I know that hurt to say.
You talked about Garrett Wilson,
yep,
right? Breece Hall.
Yes, sir.
When they hear that Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets, they're super happy.
Of course.
Right? They had a whole quarterback controversy the whole time they were there. Now Aaron Rodgers comes there, and you brought up Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he didn't go to minicamps either. He didn't go to OTAs either. Right, but it's a different level when you got them type of players. And I feel like the Jets have them type of players where, hey, listen, we all coming to win games. The Jets haven't been winning at all. You bring Aaron Rodgers there, I think they can win. And I want to put a little bit more respect on the coaches. Coach Sala ain't just going to let Aaron Rodgers come in here and just dictate whatever he wants. See, I feel like with Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur, when you have offensive coaches, they tend to, like, you know, make things easier for offensive players. Quarterbacks, they're quarterback friendly. Yep. You know, so they get a little more favor. Where defensive minded head coaches, like Josh, like not Josh, but Sean McDermott with the Bills. He loves Josh Allen. But hey, Josh, you're not running the show. You the man for the team, but I'm running the show. I'm the coach. And I think Salah's that type of coach. Then you add in Nathaniel Hackett. Let's not forget though, some of Aaron Rodgers' best years was Nathaniel Hackett.
True.
So he kind of knows how to manage Aaron Rodgers' personality, who he is. I think the Jets and Aaron Rodgers would be a great combination.
Here's my thought, though, 2-5. Whether Tom Brady went to OTAs or not, you know that better than I do, obviously. What I do know is this. Remember when Tom Brady showed up in Tampa and he organized secret workouts?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Because it was COVID?
Yeah.
And you quite literally couldn't get together? Mm-hmm. So Tom Brady is secretly working out because we're in the middle of a global pandemic? Aaron Rodgers is publicly not working out, and Tom Brady is secretly working out. To me, there's a juxtaposition, but I don't want to get lost. Dave, I want to address one point very quickly. It don't matter. I'm not speaking about the Jets' young players being talented. I'm speaking about the Jets' young players being impressionable. Mm-hmm. I know, and Shady can speak to this better than I can, but I was just a young player at the time, too. Regardless of how talented you are, you want to kind of do what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And not even Aaron Rodgers. You want to do what any Hall of Famer is doing. We all look up to the best of the best in our industry. So, like, you want to impress the best. I'm not saying Garrett Wilson ain't a dog, Sauce ain't a dog, Breece ain't a dog, Elijah hasn't shown dog potential. But if Aaron Rodgers shows up, you are still impressionable because you don't even know what you don't know yet. That's the only point I'm making.
I hear you. The other part of that is also this is pro football. I mean, sure, there's always potential for things to go wrong, but I'm trusting you to handle your business. Like, don't worry about what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And I have more trust in some of these guys because of what we've seen. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, like, again, clearly, they figured this out to a degree. I don't think they need to be taking cues from anybody.
They did, but they also didn't make the playoffs. They didn't play in the postseason.
They need a quarterback.
And what happened when they had dysfunction at the quarterback position? It fell apart. Now, obviously, I think Aaron Rodgers is better than what they were dealing with last year, of course. But if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, the goal, the expectation is Super Bowl.
Sure.
It's not to improve the roster. They got to win a Super Bowl, especially with that defense. So you coming into a new situation where the expectation, rightfully so, should be, you got to win a Super Bowl. Ain't no, like, in a couple years either, like right now. Mm-hmm. So everything has to come together. Everybody's got to be on the same page. They're obviously all grown men.
Yeah.
Right? No one's saying that. But in order to come together and win a championship, Shady, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
everybody got to be on the same page.
But if they, I won't even go that far with the Super Bowl because that's super hard. If they go in there and they compete to win their division, that's big for the Jets.
It's big for the Jets, but it's not big for Aaron Rodgers.
No, but I'm saying that to win your division, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. Every time we have breakdowns, have goals, everybody says Super Bowl. But when you're in the meetings, it's to win a division. If they win that division, and then real quick, with them young players, like I was always looking to like a guy like Donovan McNabb. I wanted to follow him, right? You know, Brian Westbrook. But then once I became who I was,
right.
All that go out the window. So right. The Garrett Wilson dudes, you Aaron Rodgers, but look, I am all pro. And Sauce Gardner. Yeah, I'm him too. And it's a different level. Like, I respect you, but you're going to respect me the same way because you know I'm that dog.
Facts.
So yep. I feel like being a young player is cool, but it's levels. Like, where Christian Watson is like, you're a good player, but you still trying to follow Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm the offensive a rookie of the year. Throw me the ball. Real talk. It happens like that.
It be like that. Well, from championship aspirations in the NFL to the NBA, LeBron James and his Lakers, they look like they are back. A 27-point comeback last night. It was historical. And it changed my opinion of the Lakers and the noise they can make in the NBA playoffs. Next. On. Family, welcome back. Good to see y'all. Glad to have you. We got to take a look at our social life. See, Slick Rick wasn't buying LeBron's foot injury while helping the Lakers' 27-point comeback, tweeting, the yin and yang of LeBron. He goes down, proclaiming he heard a pop in his foot or ankle, and then proceeds to demonstrate exquisite footwork in the post with that same foot to cook the Mavs down the stretch. Close quote. LeBron impressive or a drama king? 2-5, what you think?
I mean, listen, if he's hurt, he's hurt. Who am I to say he's not hurt? But I will say this. First of all, let me put the crown on. I'm talking about the king. All respect. You had times, especially right in college, you might have 25 tackles, 3 sacks. You get down with a shoulder. The whole team, yo, Osho, you all right? We need you. We coming back. We need you okay? I'm all right. I'm a do a dog. I heard it pop. So I feel LeBron. I've been there. I've been there killing the game. Like 200 yards. I get hurt. You all right? I don't know, dog. I think I heard it pop. Come on, keep dominating. So if the king says he's hurt, he's hurt.
Let me tell a story.
Come on
now. It was 2010, playing in Dallas, Red River rivalry, Texas versus Oklahoma, one of the biggest rivalry games.
Yeah.
At halftime, I think I got 12 tackles, 2 TFLs, and a sack.
Come on now.
I leave the field early to go to the locker room. But, you know, when you leave a game early, you know the camera's going to follow you. So, you know, you got to get that camera time. I get my IV. I'm sitting there next to my linebacker. We getting IVs. We don't even get the linebacker.
He's probably breathing.
You know, Mac Brown coming up. Hey, E, you good? Everybody, hey, coach, I'm good, man. Just got to get this IV. You know what I'm saying? Shane, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Look, nobody cares about my college career, but I had a teammate once who went down. And we come over. We're like, you okay? You okay? He goes, I'm okay. How's the crowd taking it?
Yo, that's great right there. He said with the one eye. Oh, that's a good one.
And if
the Lakers are home, the fans are clapping and all that.
Yes. But here's the thing. And I worded it the way that I did because, to your point, I don't know the level of that injury. Dude. I just know when somebody said, I've popped my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Pop your ankle, man. You're out. Weeks. Like, that's automatic. He never even came off the floor. He played the remainder of that quarter and played all but 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. So
LeBron James.
But then he limped out of the building.
But exactly, that's Aaron part Ross. Of the drama. Like, I'm going to get it done. I mean, he was giving those guys work in the post. Right? And then as soon as, like, oh, I got to limp to the free throw line. Come on, dog. Like,
LeBron is,
you don't have
LeBron
to play
is
it up.
Superman. Okay, so he this is. Pop for, you know, maybe not for y'all, but for me, would have put me in the hospital. So, of course, he could pop back up and do what he does.
He's the
LeBron.
King.
He's the king.
I love it.
Superman. Queen.
He's either the king or one heck of an actor. But either way, he got the dub down from 27, came back and got really a W that changed my opinion of the Lakers. On Friday's show, I came up here and said that I thought the Lakers were legit Western Conference contenders, but it was more so a feeling. After watching them play 2-5, now it became a fact. Did that 27-point comeback win change your opinion of
it? Nah, but it did confirm it. Right? Because I'm the one that said that, hey, listen, I think this team healthy. You got Anthony Davis playing like the old Anthony Davis, right? You got LeBron James, who's LeBron James. These new additions, you got D'Angelo Russell, who's a scorer outside that can make plays. And then you add in Vanderbilt, who's mm-hmm. playing that type of defense, the hustle and the attitude. So mm-hmm. when I look at this team and I look at that game yesterday, they showed me a lot of heart, a lot of grit, no quit. They were down early in this game.
Yes, sir.
Right? They cut it to 14 at halftime, and then you've seen it pouring on. You've seen the hard work. You see all the points in the paint. They beat them 62 to 36 points in the paint. Right. That's bullying. Mm-hmm. They shot 6 for 34 from 3. 70%. So they didn't shoot well, right? But they found a way to win. At halftime, they made adjustments. I got to give some credit to Coach Ham. He made adjustments, and he followed that game plan, and they got the W. That was big. On the road. On the road. Let's not forget that.
Joy, where you stand on that? Did it change your opinion of the Lakers?
Yeah, I would think my opinion improved, so that's changed. So I will say yes. It's not that it gets – I'm running downhill with it, but it's confirmed what I thought I saw last week. They're trending in the right direction, and this was a big comeback win. Yeah. We talked about it earlier. These wins are important for a team that has new players in the building.
Right.
They have confidence.
For sure.
They know what they can do now. They know no matter how bad it gets, can't get much worse than that, we can come back as long as we play well and yeah. play our game.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they adjusted. Like, we're making threes. Okay, let's go down in the paint. To be able to actually do that, not all teams can even do that. Like, you're losing. Like, this is what it is. This is the only option. We got to try and shoot our way out. It's either going to get better or get worse. But for me, I especially this time of year, defense becomes so important. Mm. And if you are able to play on the defensive end, that to me is the difference between a contender and a non-contender when we're talking about getting into the postseason and making something happen. It's great to be able to score a bunch of points, but if you can't get stops, then right. this is what's going to happen. That's what happened for the Mavs. And the Lakers played a great defensive game and rebounded the ball and got steals.
I'll rebound them. Yes, they yeah. did.
So, like, let me say a thought, and then I want you to really take this one home. The reason my opinion changed so much of the Lakers is how they have accepted the new organs of the team. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Mavericks got a new organ in Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, yeah.
The Suns have a new organ in Kevin Durant. The Clippers have a new organ in Russell Westbrook. Well, if y'all were watching, the Clippers and Russell Westbrook, they didn't fare too well, and Russell Westbrook got no burn in that fourth quarter at overtime. Russell Westbrook got no burn in that fourth quarter late in overtime. You think about the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie Irving. How have they accepted that organ, that new organ? Then I think about the Lakers. Wait, Mo Bamba had a 13-10 game just last game. Yeah. Wait, Beasley led the Lakers in scoring just last game. Okay, let's cut to this game. Vanderbilt had 15-17. Mm-hmm. When you look at the West and all of these teams, several of them at least, when you talk about the Suns, when you talk about the Mavs, when you talk about the Clippers, they're accepting new organs.
Yeah.
How is the body being the team, going to respond to those organs? Yep. The Lakers have responded to those new organs best, yes. and that matters down the stretch. That's why I'm really so optimistic about where the Lakers are going, Slit.
Boy, am I going to try to put a lot of pieces together. Let's see if I end up getting this Jenga thing right. I talked about the yin and the yang of LeBron James in the tweet. This is, and you bring up a great point about the yin and the yang of what the Lakers are now and the additions that they made. Because the pieces that you talked about, Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving, the pieces that other teams acquired, Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. those are big pieces. Those are part of the core. And now everybody has to fit around those core players.
Yep.
With the Lakers, the benefit is, these are complementary players who have to fit around the core. So that's a plus in that your ability to adjust and adjust quickly is much easier than if you're changing one of the core pieces. The flip side of that is you have to have those core pieces. Mm. And those core pieces have to be healthy because Jared Vanderbilt can't have that same impact. All of the work that Jared Vanderbilt did doesn't mean a thing if Anthony Davis and LeBron James down the stretch are giving the Mavericks work. And so the last piece is this question about LeBron James's foot, whether it's really injured, it's not injured. Like, who's the closer? Because for me, LeBron James was as much the closer in that game yesterday. AD got some work done, but LeBron really was the difference maker. If he's not there against Memphis and against Oklahoma City, if he has to miss a couple of games, who's the closer for this team? That's where it shifts. But it's why I see where the Lakers are making this adjustment quicker because of the pieces that they acquired.
Really, really, really good point. I love the basketball dialogue on this show. Well, coming up, we got to transition to maybe the most fascinating NFL conversation of the offseason. The Bears, they hold the number one pick in the NFL draft, the most coveted thing you could possess in an offseason. But what will they do with it? They have a quarterback, but they might draft a quarterback. But reports say they might do something else. You want to hear what that report is next on Speed.
Black History Month is a perfect time to reflect on all of our black heroes. Don't count the days, make the days count is not a quote attributed to a poet or a novelist, but rather boxer Muhammad Ali. Both spiritual and lyrical, there has never been an athlete quite like him. He challenged not only authority, but the way we thought and lived, all the while becoming the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time, and inarguably the most important. Ali was Instagram and TikTok before they existed. Endlessly entertaining, but serious and defiant. He made not only opponents uncomfortable, but our government too. Refusing to support the Vietnam War, saying, "You want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home." Muhammad Ali opened the doors for every athlete to walk through.
The number one overall pick of the 2023 NFL draft might be on the move. Reports say the Bears have heard from multiple teams, and they are leaning towards trading the pick. And with Justin Fields already on the roster and under center, a trade with a team who needs a quarterback seems like an incredibly strong possibility. Bringing us on camera again. So glad to have y'all. If y'all just tuning in, thanks for hanging. Football talk. Dave, I've been thinking about this because this has been the most polarizing conversation for a while now. The Chicago Bears, what should they do with the number one overall pick? Would it be a mistake for the Bears to trade the number one overall pick? It wouldn't be a mistake for the Bears to trade the number one overall pick. It would be a mistake for Ryan Poles to trade the number one overall pick. Ryan Poles is the general manager for the Bears. I always view things from the lens of my own experience. My experience is being cut, fired from the National Football League 5 times by the age of 25. I've always said, if I'm Ryan Poles, the general manager, I do not want my future to be tethered to a player I don't draft. It's in the best interest of the Bears to trade the pick, get a haul, and use that haul of picks they get to help Justin Fields. But selfishly, I'm thinking from Ryan Poles' perspective, it's in his best interest to make sure he has the guy he wants. Justin Fields might be the guy he wants. But Dave, that's what I've always thought. I've never been thinking so much about the Bears as the person who has to make the pick for the Bears and Ryan Poles. But you think broad, you think micro, macro, take it where you want. Would it be a mistake for the Bears to trade the number one overall pick?
Ryan Poles wasn't there when the Bears traded up to draft Justin Fields. But, I mean, hopefully he has paid attention to what happened, because it was 2 years ago? And those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. That's what they always told me. It would be a huge mistake, because Ryan Poles would just be doing, or excuse me, it would not be a mistake to trade it, because doing the other thing is what got the Bears in this position in the first place. Like, they already spent a huge amount of capital to draft a quarterback who had nothing around him. Like, we saw how that played out. I feel like because of his struggles as a passer in the league and because he wound up falling to 11, people have already forgotten the hype around Justin Fields. Like, he was just as highly regarded as anybody coming out in this draft class, and that includes Bryce Young. I know Bryce Young won the Heisman. Justin Fields had a lot of believers in his ability and a lot of people who were shocked that he fell as far as number 11 in the draft. Turns out, when you don't have anybody else on your team, it's hard to succeed. And so for the Bears to do this twice in 3 years, it would honestly blow my mind. Like, I do this every morning. I woke up, we're on West Coast time. I looked at my phone. I saw this report on Twitter that they're leaning towards trading the pick. I said, oh, thank God, we can be done with these stupid smoke screens. Because that's what they are. The Bears need capital. They need so many things. They're picking first in the draft for a reason. They need help on defense. My God, do they need an offensive line? They need some pass catchers. Just about the only thing that seems remotely settled right now is they've got a decent backfield and they've got a promising young quarterback. And in case you don't believe me, I did these numbers during the commercial break. You realize in 2021, Jalen Hurts completed 60% of his passes, averaged about 260 yards a game, rushing and passing. 26 touchdowns, 9 picks. In 2022, Justin Fields averaged about 230 yards a game, 25 touchdowns, and 11 picks. The numbers aren't completely identical. Hurts was a better passer, Fields was a better runner. But the production is very, very similar. And guess what? They were on talent-poor teams. Yes, I know the Eagles had a better record. I know they made the playoffs. The point is, similar production in similar circumstances.
Again, that matters.
The Bears need so much stuff. And guess how they can get it? They can trade down in the draft. They don't even need to go that far. There are instances in history, not that long ago, trading down into the top five. They could trade to number four and get a future first-round pick. They could get picks in this year's draft. So not only are you picking half a dozen times in the top 100, helping you replenish your roster, but you're holding on to a first-round pick, which, by the way, the Eagles did as well. The Eagles maneuvered last year to acquire multiple firsts. And if you don't think part of that was not being sold on their quarterback, you're crazy. So you could even do this, acquire a pick for next year, and guess what? If Justin Fields still struggles with more help, you can maneuver next year to be back in this position. There's no downside to trading away from this pick. But if you make the pick at number one, especially if it's a quarterback, you're just asking to relive what you've already been through.
Joy?
I hear you on Ryan Poles selfishly making a move that might keep him, in his position and protect him. But scared money don't make no money.
There we go.
And this is the right move. You have Justin Fields. We don't know what he is. We don't know how great he can be or if this is truly all the better he's going to be in the league. But if you do it correctly, exactly how Dave just said, and you have a first-round pick in next year's draft, then you can fix the error of your ways. And in this year, you will have replenished the roster so that if you do move off Justin Fields next year for another rookie quarterback, they will have more to work with. This is absolutely what they have to do. I will be in shock if they don't do this, and I will be very interested to see how it works out. My guess is it looks pretty similar to what we watched this year with the Bears because they need more. You have to have a good offensive line for a young quarterback to play behind. You've got to have high-level skill positions for them to throw to, particularly at the team that's always focused on defense. Trade back in the draft, get a bunch of capital, do it the right way so that you have insurance for next year, and give Justin Fields some help. And this is the best-case scenario, because if he doesn't play well, now you actually know, because you've removed the excuses from him as well. You've put pieces around him. So now it's like, is Justin Fields trying to carry everybody? Is he running because he has no one to throw to? Well, nope. We've answered those problems, and now you know if he's really your guy or not.
Here's what's interesting, though, 2-5, and obviously you're biting your tongue. I will give you your time. What's fascinating is I believe so many people are assuming that these rookies at the Bears draft are all or most going to be instant change makers.
What sounds like.
Because I'm like, well, I've heard this not from Dave nor Joy exclusively, but, you know, let's draft the pieces and now we'll know. I don't know if they draft, mind you, they'll probably end up drafting a defensive player if they trade out of it.
I guess.
I don't know if they draft an edge rusher, if they draft Will Anderson, if now we're going to know more about Justin Fields. I don't know if they draft a second-round wide receiver out of USC or so that now we'll know more about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything they could do in the draft. Now, if you go get A.J. Brown and you go get Chauncey Gardner, right.
The league in cap space,
like,
too.
If you were to go do that, then we can know more. But I don't know if I'm now going to be like, okay, you got a second-round wide receiver, a first-round defensive end, a third-round tight end. Now, Justin Fields, show me what you got. But I'm waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, no, because I was thinking what Dave was saying about the Jalen Hurts and the comparisons with him and Justin Fields. I'm thinking, like, well, we got to get more respect for Jalen Hurts for developing and evolving on offseason. That work ethic, that determination, where even with the players he did have, which helped him out tremendously, but watch him, like, even the pass that he'd throw. Some passes he would throw, was like, oh, man, that's a great choice. Throw the ball away. Not trying to fit it in there, where I seen the 1 year in the playoffs, he was throwing picks left and right, bad decision-making with the ball. And then, as I get the Bears, like, they need a lot of help on defense.
Everywhere.
They're ranked 29th on defense. People always, oh, he needs more weapons. I think that he needs to get better as a passer, right? And I think as a team, I will go out there and get him some players. I hate to go out and get draft picks. Because like you talked about, I don't know what they can be. They can be great, they can be Hall of Famers, or they can be busts. Where you go get players like the Eagles did, we got players that's productive. We know what they can do.
Sure.
I would go out there and get that. I think with Justin Fields, he needs to develop more as a passer. That's within himself, right? And then they can get him some help. And the last thing with the offensive lineman, everybody keeps talking about they need help on offensive line. They ran for more 200 yards than any other team by a long shot. So I think offensively, maybe get another wide receiver. I think a lot of it's more on Justin Fields in general.
I would just say, number one, I think, you know, there's a difference between pass protection and run blocking, first of all. But I would just want to point out,
if you run the ball, you throw the ball easy.
You can use draft picks to acquire players. That's what the Eagles did with A.J. Brown.
That's the piece.
Getting capital is everything. It doesn't matter what you do with it because you just need it. Or either draft players, trade for players, regardless.
And they got money.
They got more money than anybody in the league. They'd be way better off. Whatever you need to do, whatever you think is the best path to surround Justin Fields with talent, You can sort out quarterback next year if it doesn't work out.
Well, the Mavs got more capital when they acquired Kyrie Irving, but he wasn't a saving grace because the Mavs blew a 27-point lead last night. That's the worst blown lead in the NBA this season. We'll tell you if it's time to hit the panic button and if Kyrie might be to blame.
Bad game. Bad game.
Next on Speak. Uh-oh, don't go nowhere.
It's Slick on.
Now, Luka and Kyrie blew a 27-point lead to the Lakers last night. But prior to that collapse, NBA teams were 138-0 when they were up by 27 or more. Dallas is now 1-3 when both Luka and Kyrie play together. Slick, I was on Twitter, and something caught my attention.
Yes.
You posted this. Did I just hear Mark Jones, that is NBA color analyst Mark Jones, say the wizardry of Kyrie, or NBA play-by-play Mark Jones say the wizardry of Kyrie wasn't enough to explain the Mavs come from ahead loss? Kyrie was an unmitigated second half disaster. His decision-making is as brutal as his individual skill is spectacular. Slick, very quickly before we head to the desk, are you telling me the Mavs are better off or worse off with Kyrie?
Well, as far as this game was concerned, they were worse off because he did not deliver what they got him for, which is when teams load up on Luka Doncic, that's time for Kyrie to deliver.
Yes, sir.
That was the entire second half, and that's when he was 3-for-12, 1-for-8,
ooh,
1 assist, 1 turnover.
My goodness.
That's not good.
Good. That's not
what they wanted.
Shady, how? We got to head to that. I got to get my guy Shady in this one. Because, Shady, I know you get impassioned when we talk about the man that is Kyrie Irving. Now, you heard from Slick. At least last night, Kyrie Irving proved that the Mavs were better without him. But where do you stand? Are the Mavs better or worse with Kyrie?
I heard him, and I read what he said. Wait, this is a serious question?
It's a very serious question.
Are you asking if the Mavs are better without Kyrie Irving?
Yes, sir.
What are we talking about, though? Are the Mavs better without Kyrie Irving? Is that the real question?
That's the real question.
Come on, it's crazy. No, they're not better without Kyrie Irving. They're better with Kyrie Irving. First of all, he had a bad game. It happens. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in a production meeting. I hate when y'all make like one game the main thing. Mm-hmm. No, it's football, basketball, baseball. The best players will have a bad game. It happens. I gave a lot of crazy work, but there's games I didn't. I had bad games. The reason why they're better with Kyrie Irving, first of all, I'll give you some numbers because I know we all love numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Them two combined. Luka's averaged like 34 points a game, and Kyrie Irving's averaged like 27 points a game. That's like 60-some points overall. They're ranked number one with a combination of two players together on the same team. Mm-hmm. That matters. Where now, when before in the past, if Luka didn't have a good game, they're instantly going to lose that game. If he gets in foul trouble, they're going to lose that game. If they have a defensive player, or not even defense, let's say he has an off game because it happens, they lose that game. Well, now with Kyrie Irving, that's different. Give us some time to gel. It just happened. Right? They just got together. They got to fill each other out. Okay, third quarter, I'm going to do more of this. Okay, Luka's going to do more of that. Let them gel. Every team takes time to gel. Every team is different. So I feel like once they get together and they know each other, they know each other flow, what he likes, what he doesn't like, they'll be a better team. But to say that the Mavs are a better team without Kyrie Irving sounds crazy.
No, crazy, but Joy, hey, maybe what? I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Are the Mavs better with Kyrie?
Yeah, of course. You've got to have a second option. You have to. Luka was carrying this team. Everything Shady you said is correct. Anytime Luka didn't have it or they shut Luka down, it's a wrap. Luka was the engine, and now he's got Kyrie there. Now, Kyrie didn't deliver last night.
True.
I don't imagine he'll do that consistently. He is going to get buckets. My concern with this lineup, with this team, with this combination of players, is the same as it's always been. Where is the defense? That is what's concerning to me about the Mavs. And that was a problem last night. You had a huge lead. Get some stops.
Right.
Get some stops. Get like one stop. You know what I mean? And the Lakers deserve credit because AD went off and Vanderbilt had a great game and LeBron had a great game. Like, they imposed that win on the Mavs. But you got to get some stops. They're absolutely better with Kyrie. It can't be Luka or nothing. And Kyrie's just got to step up, which I think he will.
But here's the issue, though, because I think they are more explosive with Kyrie.
Right.
Hard for me to say that they're better because I think their highs are higher, their lows are lower. It depends on where Kyrie and what Kyrie you're going to get. But if the Mavs got to get stops, and Kyrie isn't known for getting stops, he can get stops, but it's not like Kyrie's known for getting stops, aren't we talking out of both sides of our mouths when we're like, yes, they are better, but what the Mavs need to do better, Kyrie doesn't do well.
But that's not... All right, I guess I'm speaking from the bias of I don't really think that they have with this roster what they need to win a championship.
Okay, understood.
So it's not really falling on Luka and Kyrie. You need role players. You need players that are, you're not relying on for points, but you're relying on for stops. You need to have a roster that is complete. So you have to have the scoring that Kyrie and Luka provide, because that's just what this league is. What were we talking about earlier?
That's
all
right.
these players scoring all these 70-point games, right? You got to be able to put up points. But you're going to have to – they're not liabilities on the defensive end. I won't go that far. But you've got to be able to get some stops. And so to me, I guess I'm speaking from a place of bias where I need to see that in the postseason. Mm-hmm. I need to see that style of play from the Mavs in order for me to really think that they're contenders. And final little piece – it takes time for this stuff to come together.
I mean,
we get crazy.
Let them gel.
This trade, they're all of a sudden going to win the finals favorites. Like, it's, yeah. Give them some games. Give them some games. The Heat came together, absolute super team with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, and didn't win a championship the first year. It takes time.
Yeah, agreed. This is what I love about Joy, is that she starts out with you guys. Yeah, you're right. You're with that. You know, but, and then the longer she talks, the more she's coming this way. Because
it's called being reasonable.
Which I appreciate, because we don't get enough of that on this show sometimes. Sometimes we reach a little bit. That's what I'm saying.
Reach is keeping honest. That's me.
I'm not worried. By the way, you guys should know, because this is all the prelude to all this, is that we talked about this on Friday's show, and the show never actually ends. They just turn the cameras off and they tell us to go home. We were continuing to have this conversation about Kyrie Irving on Friday already. And this is my thing. It's not, do you take Kyrie Irving away from this team? Are they better? No. But if you gave me Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie back, are they better, significantly better with Kyrie Irving? Or does that underscore the issue that Joy was bringing up, which is Dorian Finney-Smith was your best defender.
He was okay.
Your best wing finger.
He was okay.
Defender.
He's just okay.
He's a little bit better than that.
Okay.
Spencer Dinwiddie is a better defender than
Dinwiddie plays defense?
Than Kyrie Irving is, because Kyrie plays no defense. So that's where I look at it and say, okay, I understand the explosiveness of Kyrie, but the reality is since he's been here, and I give you the caveat that you need time,
Okay. They've
had three last possession games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've lost all three. If there was a time, if there was an element that Kyrie Irving was supposed to give you, it was at the end of the game when the game's to be decided,
Okay. That's
when they're going to be better. If our defense can play well enough to get us to the last possession in a last possession game, then we now have the firepower to get it done. And they simply haven't. So that's where I look at it. And it's simply, I mean, I can't help but think, look at Kyrie Irving, and you can say, hey, we got to look at the numbers. We got to look at the big picture.
Right.
I'm looking at the fact that how much of Kyrie Irving's reputation is built on that one shot in Cleveland to win a championship, as opposed to the last 4 or 5 years when he's not even on the floor.
That's one of the biggest shots ever. But I want to get into that. But, like, first of all, you know the Mavs are averaging 125 points when Kyrie Irving and Luka is in the lineup?
Sure.
So it's more of an offensive game now. Mm-hmm. You just said it earlier today. It was you. You said that now teams don't have defensive players like that, right?
Defensive specialists. Yeah.
Correct.
Defensive specialists like they used to have.
Correct.
That's true. But like even when before Kyrie got there, you telling me the Mavs was a defensive team?
No.
They never was. They never was. You trying to tell me that Dinwiddie's a defensive player?
He never was.
He's known for getting buckets.
See,
you know I'm a basketball nut. First of all, they're a better team than Kyrie Irving because let's take defense out of it. The Mavs were never a defensive team. Mm-hmm. Luka was never a defensive player.
Ever.
If you look at last night, it was AD that the turnaround
fadeaway and
on Luka.
Bam.
And then,
13 seconds
right, and I hate to do this to Luka because I love Luka, but when they got they called the timeout, Kyrie throws the ball back to him. Oh. You got to know the rules. He threw it back court. You can go up there and get that. He thought that was like a violation. He tried to throw it. They intercepted it, the Lakers, and then they shot free throws. They sealed the game.
Mouses.
That's how that really went down.
Okay.
Because I don't know if the people seen it last night, so I didn't explain it to them. That's how it really happened.
Oh, dang, they played the music on you.
Because you're trying to play Kyrie Irving. You're not going to do that.
Say, that means you're done. They played the music
on you. You're trying to do me like that.
I got to bring the broom out like they used to do on the old show. Anyway, coming up, we got to handle some family business. Don't go anywhere. They might interrupt Shady again.
I ain't going nowhere. Me and Slick going to get dessert.
Okay, the most intensely debated question on our show today. Who is more talented, Will Smith or Jamie Foxx? 2-5.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Why do you gotta pick?
You gotta pick one, Joy.
I don't want to pick.
It's TV, yeah. Joy.
It's TV.
We gotta do it for TV.
I don't want to pick. I was not consulted on this.
It's like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard.
You can pick one.
Yeah, they're Jamie both Fox. Great.
So you, Jamie Foxx is only missing a T?
I prefer
he's only
Will
missing
Smith.
The Tony
Jamie
Award.
Foxx to me is more talented.
Yeah.
Take but I prefer Will Smith.
They're both great. Correct. I'll tell you what, it's not Kyrie Irving.
Blame it on
that. Why y'all want to be in the middle so bad? I'm going with Will.
Come on now.
Stand up.
Oh,
that's it for us. We'll see y'all next.
Dang.